Hey, everybody. My name is Lauren LaGrasso. I'm so excited to be with you today. I have a phenomenally talented woman sitting next to me. I'm really excited to introduce you to her. Her name is Janelle Kroll, and she is a singer-songwriter, has a new EP out, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. What we're about to hear is Janelle's song, her new song off of her album. It's 24 Hours. It's a hit. It's a jam. I'm so excited to be with you. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. I've been listening to you all morning. I've been watching your interviews. I was telling you about it earlier. So it's exciting to see you in live and living color.
Hey, Technicolor Dreams.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dream Coat. We could go on with all these color terminologies, but I want to find out about you, your story, your dreams, your hopes. Everything. We're gonna figure out Janelle today.
Okay, the memoir.
The memoir. Here, you heard it here first. So, you started out in Chicago. I heard that you knew you wanted to be a singer when you were just 6 years old. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, when I was a kid, I did musicals. That was like my after school activity.
Me too.
So, I was in a summer musical called When I Grow Up. And every actor in the opening song got to say during an interlude what they wanted to be when they grew up. And I immediately knew when we were deciding, you know, our lines, my hand shot in the air. And I was so happy no one said it first, but I was like, a singer! I want to be a singer! Well, I didn't know I'd also be a songwriter, but it all worked out.
So
took
a
while.
When did that songwriting component come in?
I would say around 19, I started writing songs. And then it took me a lot of songs to be pretty good at it.
Of course. Yeah. They say it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert at anything.
Yeah, I put in my hours. So.
Yeah. Well, you can hear it. So you were 19 when you officially started writing music. Mm-hmm. But like for me, I realized I'd been writing songs way before that. I just didn't know that's what it was. Did you have a moment like that?
When I was in junior high, I remember like hanging out with my friend Danielle, and we wrote a little pop song.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Could you sing a little bit of it for us?
There was a catchy part.
Yeah.
It was like...
it's, I hope
we
it's
We recorded
hilarious.
It on tape. Yeah, it was... let's see. The lost tape sessions. I don't want to rush. Just listen to me hush. Let's take it slow. That's how we'll go. I had some catchy parts.
That's pretty good.
Man, it isn't the worst thing.
What's she up to now, Danielle?
She works in education. She does admin. Not admin. She does admissions at a Montessori school. She also writes songs.
Yeah.
She writes songs. Aww. Music by Danny.
I love it.
Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Danny.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Well, you two are good co-writing partners. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll circle back around.
You never know.
Never know. So you were 19. You were still in Chicago at this point. You were going to college at Northwestern, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you're mad brilliant.
I'm doing my thing.
Doing your thing. What did you major in at school?
Theater. With a business minor.
Wow. Yeah. Their theater program is excellent.
It is.
So you continue to do musicals throughout all this. Somewhat?
Yeah, I did some
You
musicals.
Did a few musicals.
Yeah.
What was your favorite one you ever did?
Hair.
Hair is great.
Yeah, played Sheila. That was fun.
Which one is she? Because I get all mixed up. I saw that when I was so young.
She's kind of the lead.
Oh, kind of the lead. No big deal. Sheila's just kind of the lead.
College days, you know.
So... was it like an interesting transition when you started writing your own music? Because did you have to get out of like your musical theater voice?
I mean, I never really had the music theater voice. Like aesthetically, the classic music theater sound is not my jam, but I enjoyed listening to, you know, like Rent, the good rock musicals back in the day. So I thought, you know, my own voice had a place, you know, where I didn't have to like totally change up my style. But then, yeah, I think stopping that helped me really find my voice because I was, you know, singing my own songs, and then you really figure out the way you want to sing your words, especially when you're
not having to also act them, you know? Right. There is a style difference.
Yeah, because it's just your truth. Yeah. You don't have to think about acting.
There's like no dialogue component. Living. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very freeing. It's almost like stepping out of the box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think also what makes a difference is being in studio mode because mm-hmm. like the little choices that I make, I think over the past few years, I've really discovered the power of like implementing, of controlling your breath, like mm-hmm. how much you actually want to infuse into the tone. And like if you're on stage, right, and you're doing like like that Mariah, you know, breathy right. stuff, no one's going to hear you. That has nothing to do with anything, you know. But on a recording, it can be really powerful and vulnerable. Mm. You know, it's a different medium. It's like film versus
theater.
Yeah. So being in the studio, I discovered a lot about my own instrument and how mm-hmm. it could, you know, help the way that I want to tell a story. You
That's
know?
Very cool.
With the instrument. Yeah.
So when you started writing, did you start writing by yourself?
Or yeah.
You did, okay.
I did. I started writing by myself. But I've realized I play well with others. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely a creative extrovert. I like to collaborate, you know?
It's, I like that saying.
Yeah. Having the synergy where you're in the studio, you think of an idea, and then the person you're writing with yes-ands you, and... Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a blind spot, you know, they got you, and then their idea will affect your idea. Sometimes I work just with a producer. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy writing in threes, you know, another, like a fellow songwriter and a producer. So I think two mm-hmm. or three people right. is the win.
And you did that a couple times on this album, right? You did with your producer and then a songwriter.
Yeah. So Outsider, there are five songs mm-hmm. on this project, Outsider. Two of the songs were with Brian Kierolf in New Jersey. He's amazing. And so, yeah, that was the two of us. But then I worked with Penguin Prison on the first song that you heard, 24 Hours.
Yeah.
And he brought in, so he's a producer and a songwriter, and then he brought in Andy Seltzer. To co-produce, so that like was that process.
It's very yeah. fresh.
Yeah.
Andy Seltzer.
Yeah, yeah. It's because
bubbly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Balcony Song. I actually made like a mile away from here,
really,
in NoHo.
Okay,
with Ryan Marone, who's a wonderful producer, and my buddy Morgan.
Okay,
Morgan with an X. He's also featured on the EP. We have a duet, and the other song that we wrote together on the EP is produced by this amazing guy from Stockholm that goes by Grizzly.
Ooh.
We made that here in LA. So I guess it's been a wild journey. I have about 80 songs that I really like that I don't want to say sitting on because that sounds inactive, but they're like, you know, they're percolating.
Because you have to figure out when to release them, where they fit.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's kind of confusing about an album. So when you were thinking about making this one, obviously the title is Outsider. Mm-hmm. What did you want the thesis statement of your EP to be?
I think overall, these five, I have different viewpoints. Sonically, there is an 80s motif running mm-hmm. throughout that I'm really into. I like the future 80s moment that's happening right now in music.
It's like interesting.
Is that appreciating the 80s but doing it better?
In Fever? I heard it in Fever.
Fever for sure. Mm-hmm. Also Outsider, mm-hmm. 24 Hours. I think all of them other than Loose. But Loose has a little bit of a Prince thing going on at mm-hmm. the end with the guitar. Anyway, so there's a great sense of longing, nostalgia. The music's pretty romantic. There are different themes that I'm exploring. One is like, what does it mean to be alone mm-hmm. Versus lonely? Like in Balcony Song, I'm saying, it's about emotional independence. And I'm saying, hey, I don't have to be with someone to feel complete. You know, it's about being alone, but feeling complete without, you know, so there's this like with and without thing happening. And also with 24 Hours, you're like, the setting is you're at a party. I imagine it kind of like that Garden State party scene.
Okay.
And everything's happening around you and you just feel isolated.
So yeah, I'm definitely exploring, yeah, what it means to feel alone and not alone. Yeah.
I noticed that a lot of your music has that antithesis to it. Yeah. So your song, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank, but it's Sunny Days. Yeah. So that one, it's very dark lyrically, yeah, but melodically it's very bright.
So that song, interestingly enough, I made that in Chicago with a couple buddies, Terrence Spencer and Dan Payne. What's up? So we initially made the song, and the track was very bright. It was faster, and it was, mm-hmm, it had a Motown feel.
Love.
And then... and then I performed the song acoustically and discovered that the song actually wanted something. It seemed like it lived in a different place. Because, you know, when you have your lyric and melody, you contextualize it. You can contextualize it however you want. Mm-hmm. Which is why sometimes, like, remixes end up doing better than the original song.
Right.
So it's kind of always this living, breathing thing. And I ended up meeting the producer Dan Edinburgh when I was living in New York, mm-hmm, and I thought, let's slow it down. I like more dark, minimal vibe. Let's see, mm-hmm, what we can discover here. And that ultimately felt like the most true version of the song at that time. Like if we were to make Sunny Days 10 years from now, it would be different. Right. But it seemed like the most urgent and correct presentation.
Mm-hmm. That was what was authentic in that moment.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And
a lot of it's temporal.
Cool melody. I mean,
the blue and the
yes, I love that. Thank you. How it did the jump, but it was so logical when it came out.
Thank you.
That was really cool. I was super impressed by that. You who's listening and watching, go check it out. Check out her acoustic version especially.
Oh, yeah. My So Far Sounds performance. Yes.
Speaking of So Far Sounds, tell me how that all came about, because that's something I've been interested in for a long time.
Yeah, me too. I first heard about So Far Sounds when my very talented artist friend Jarena DeMarco played one in New York a few years ago. And was kind of like, you know, I wonder when that's going to happen. I'd love to play a living room show.
Right.
And So Far Sounds, if you haven't heard of it, there are shows all over the world every day happening in unconventional spaces, whether it's like a home, a loft, an office. And every time it's sold out, you'll have about 150 people in the room chilling, just actually like sitting down and listening to the music, and the artists perform stripped down sets, and they're short so that, you know, you actually have the audience's attention span, because it's not easy to sit down and just not look at your phone and hear a whole show, let alone three sets. So they do these mini sets and everyone listens, and the New York team has been really supportive, and I've played multiple ones over there. I did a show with Chargo and Yesayer that was sponsored by Bud Light. That was really cool recently.
I think I saw that one. I think I saw 24 someone sipping.
Hours.
Yeah. Sipping the Bud Light. I love it when there's a product placement. Yeah. I'm like, you get it, Bud Light.
Yeah.
Go for the gold.
And I'm all about it too, because, you know, you get like a little bit of budget.
Love it. Yeah.
Just get paid. So bad,
get
you know.
That money. It's hard for an artist out there. Right?
When there's an opportunity.
So to get paid. No, of course.
They should get paid.
I know, but it's a service. You are helping people and you are giving a product. Yeah. And it's like the only industry in the world where you can literally get product for free and not have an exchange of money.
Right.
It'd be like going into a restaurant, eating a meal, and being like, peace, see ya. It doesn't make any sense.
It seems like the cost per acquisition is, you know, time and and free resources. Yeah. And then you get your fans.
Right. And then you can do other things.
And I mean, personally, I'm all about the streaming services or buying vinyl. Like, that's just how I consume music now.
So, with the streaming services, I know you're really big with Spotify.
Spotify's been amazing. Yeah.
Right. So they've helped you largely get discovered by a big audience,
actually,
correct?
Yeah. So it was a little over a year ago that I woke up one morning and my friend Ricardo texted me and was like, Janelle, you're on New Music Tuesday. And I freaked out. So now it's Friday, but it's all the same. Anyway, so, and then the song Sunny Days made it to their global viral chart. And at the time, I had been talking to different managers, like all awesome people, but nothing was really coming together. And mm-hmm. I didn't know what was happening with my career. I put the song on a blog, Bullet, premiered it, which was great. Like, I didn't pay for PR. I just, you know, lucked out and people supported the song. And it charted on Hype Machine. And I didn't really know what the next plan was other than releasing my song Numb. But mm-hmm. I didn't even have, like, a set date.
Really?
I was just flying by the seat of my pants. So then, but BMI was really supportive, and I knew that I was going to be playing Lollapalooza. So I had that to look forward to, mm-hmm. which was crazy because I'm from Chicago. So
yeah, that must have been a huge moment for you.
Special. anyway, so then that song just out of nowhere got the placement, and it was on the global viral chart, which was super cool. And around that time, my management situation came together. And yeah, and I've just been really building since then. But Spotify, the fact that their curation team has supported my music, I mean, this might be, I don't know if this statement is entirely accurate, but I feel like they're going to be the platform that actually breaks the music, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, I'm just so grateful. So grateful. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
They support independent artists.
You know what? And that's the story that super doesn't cool. get told. So I'm glad that you're yeah. saying that right now, because everyone just hears yeah. about, oh, Spotify is awful because they're raping the music industry of all its money, basically, through streaming.
No, and the labels are getting story. Yeah, and the labels, they're getting money on the master. Oh, so
I heard a lot of the labels own those type that, of
yeah,
things,
yeah,
like
yeah,
the,
yeah.
the streaming sources.
Yeah, so. But also, so the label gets money for every time that a song is getting played. It's not mm-hmm. a lot, and it's also not... I mean, I'm still learning about this, but it's not standard. It's different for every territory. It's not right. like $0.005 for every stream. It really right. it depends on. So, but for me, with Sunny Days, like, I own my master.
Huge.
I used TuneCore to post it, so TuneCore takes a cut. But yeah, you know, the song was posted everywhere, and then you do get a royalty. It's not a lot of money, but it's,
but you've got fans, which it's yeah. more valuable.
Oh, my yeah. God, yeah.
Relevancy is much more valuable.
Yeah, well, when you can say, oh, I have ears. People are listening to the music. Mm-hmm. People are following it. You know, that helps with shows. I mean, it's just every little bit helps, mm-hmm. you know. And it's at the end of the day, I mean, this is my – so, yes, this is my career, but it's my passion. And I just want people to hear the music. Mm-hmm. And the money, that comes.
Come.
Like, what's important is that I'm making good music and it's reaching people.
Mm-hmm.
Making great music and it's reaching people.
Yes,
you know?
So you are.
I'm just happy that people are listening.
Now, speaking of the great music, I love this. You call yourself a dependent artist.
Oh, yeah.
So explain that.
Little, sweet little phrase. So, I was thinking I make indie pop. And instead of saying indie music, like, what about a little play on that? And dependent music, you know, singing. A lot of my songs are about, like, emotional dependencies, being hung up. Sunny Days is a hung up kind of song.
Yes.
Outsider, that's like, you know, wanting to go back.
Back where?
Go back to a place in time with someone that you can't.
Oh.
That you can't. And just and trying to come to terms with it, but not being able to.
Feeling
so,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think dependent music seems like a fun phrase. But or you could say alternative pop. Or I could list a lot of other genres.
Yeah, it's just kind of a mixture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's also the exciting thing about making music today. Mm-hmm. You know, anything goes.
You think
everything
that's
goes.
True?
Yeah.
So, like, that's something I feel I've been struggling with. So, like, yeah. is it okay, in your opinion, if an artist has one song on the album that it still sounds like them, but yeah. it's not quite the same genre? Do you think that's all right?
I think it's all right if... Ideally, there are some parts in the arrangement that feel, you know, if you're
There's
using like the same synth tone, mm-hmm. some sort of connective tissue, having a similar kind of mix, you know, same mastering engineer will help. Mm-hmm. But I think it's okay to show variety as long as there's still
a
core
line.
Vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it depends. The order in which you're sharing the songs. You know, if you're going, if it's singles, I think that really gives you even more opportunity to mm-hmm. explore. Also, if you're featuring the producer, you know, then you could be like, oh, well, I'm this producer is sharing, like, their aesthetic is very much shaping the song, so I feature them, mm-hmm. and then you can step outside, you know, your comfort zone or your listeners, you know, expectations, and it's more acceptable. Or if you're, yeah, featuring another artist in general. So
interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That's a way to do it.
I think so. Yeah, as long as it's there's some through line, you're right.
Yeah.
Now, you said you're with BMI, correct?
So, yeah, I'm with BMI. Yeah, they've BMI. Been amazing.
So tell me about that, because
ASCAP's great, too.
Yeah. But, for those of you that don't know, BMI is a songwriters union. So when you first moved to New York, were they a group you linked up with?
Yeah, BMI. Someone that was working at BMI at the time was at a show that I played at Brooklyn Bowl with my buddy Morgan. And afterwards, he reached out to me and was like, hey, what are you doing here in New York? And we met, and then he introduced me to some producers and writers. And really, it was BMI that introduced me to a whole community of musicians in New York. And I'm so grateful, you know. And then with that, their artist services team can be really helpful, you know, setting up meetings with publishers, managers. They have showcases. That's how I landed Lollapalooza. I was very fortunate that their team loved my music and wanted to help get me started, you know. They do, like, these little round robins where they're speed dating, where you meet different producers and writers. Yeah.
I had no idea. That is really
so
cool.
So, granted, ASCAP was also really helpful, especially mm-hmm. when I was doing my first the first batches of sessions in LA, but ultimately I went with
BMI. Still your heart.
But it's all everyone's. They're all about, you know, helping the songwriter. So
I love that. You also got some amazing reviews from Billboard recently.
Billboard's been
tell me about that.
Been very supportive. I streamed. I gave an exclusive stream for the EP to Billboard, and the write up was like every single quote I would want to hear. I didn't expect it to be so gushing, so sweet. But yeah, we've got all these great quotes now.
I know. When I read your press release, I was like, hot damn!
Yeah, I guess like no filler. Fire. No filler on the CP, so
that was nice. What they said, right?
Yeah, that meant a lot, you know.
So, have you seen when something like that comes out? Do you see in the streams like instant through the roof?
No, okay. So, actually, if you talk to a lot of people in the music industry about premieres and blogs writing about the music, it helps. The way I see it. A music listener who's following whatever website it is will then see your name, maybe read about you and engage and know that you exist. Mm-hmm. And so that the next time they see your name, they know that it's really something to remember, and maybe they'll talk about it, you know, with their friends. But it doesn't really help streams so much as the playlisting does. On the streaming platforms. So it can help. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So blog posts can help with streams. But you really need a lot of blogs writing about it to drive traffic to, say, SoundCloud. But what an artist can do, they can say, oh, hey, Billboard premiered my music. And on an industry level, that looks really good. Mm-hmm. You know, that you have a media outlet co-signing you. Like Pigeons and Planes was really supportive of me. They premiered my Joni Mitchell cover Down to You. And
that
my
was
song
so
Numb.
Cool, by the way.
Thank you.
You really turned that one out.
Thank you. So, yeah. I wanted to cover that song like 5 years ago, like, you know, long time ago. And and just finally, I was working with Tyler X Cordy, who produced it, and we had about 10 songs that we could have been finishing. And I was like, can you just go on a tangent with me? Can we jam? And suddenly, you know, we stumbled upon it. We got that, like, that fake Juno, that Juno plugin going. And ever since working with Dan Edinburgh on Sunny Days, because he has a Juno at his apartment, I'm always like, do you have a Juno? Because it's one, I love that instrument.
Right.
And two, it's nice having some sort of consistent sonic structure. So anyway, he pulled up the Juno plugin and
Bam.
And bam. And then I was like, we got to release this now. So we did.
It was just so unique. I've never heard a Joni Mitchell song, especially like, you know, because she's so light and airy.
Right, right.
So to hear it done and produced the way that was really cool.
Thank you.
Check it out.
It's one of my faves.
Yeah, it's so good. You really made it your own.
Thank you.
So I thought, I had one thing I wanted to get to. Oh, vocal lessons. Did you ever take vocal lessons?
I started taking voice lessons, I think, when I was 10.
Wow, yeah.
And then, yeah, I took them throughout college, and I haven't taken a lesson since. When I start touring, I'll probably need a coach just for sustenance so that I don't, like, blow out my vocal cords, because I don't always make the safest vocal choice, you know? But if you have a show and your next gig isn't the next day, you get your 8 hours of sleep, you're chill. When you're in the studio, when I'm in the studio, if I'm in the studio for 8 hours, I'm not singing the whole time. You know, you're shaping a record. It doesn't mean you're recording the whole time. So, but touring is obviously, I mean, you hear about so many singers having, you know, getting notes.
Even the best ones.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be really careful.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you're making really intense vocal choices, like Adele say, that is not easy to sustain. So, I mean, voice lessons are awesome, especially, you know, just really getting the breath foundation, figuring out, you know, where to place things.
Right.
But I did some unlearning, to be honest, and just kind of being in the studio, like on the mic, found out what else my voice could do. And that was also stepping outside of, unlearning certain tendencies. Like, I spent a lot of time learning how to mix my voice.
Mixing is so hard.
Oh. Yeah, it's like that. The vocal exercise is like, that's like to learn how to mix, right?
Like to go from low to high. So there's chest. For those of you who are not singers who are watching, you're like, what the hell is she talking about? It's the chest voice, and then you've got the head voice, like the opera sound. And then there's this thing in between. That's the mix sound.
Yeah. But I'm kind of all
about... But you're good at that.
I'm all about... I do like my belty thing, and then I like flipping to my head voice.
Mm-hmm. And coming back down in a kind of a sneaky way.
Yeah.
You do that in that Sunny song.
Yes, exactly. And then sometimes really belting, but it's... I don't do mixing so much, or at least not intentionally.
Right.
Because when I belt, then I'm like, I want to make it gritty. Yeah. And that's belting. I'm not mixing that. So...
Anyway. Now, you are all over the place in your music, though, voice-wise. You've got lots of high parts and lots of low. So you give a good mixture, even if you're not mixing.
I do.
So the range. There's a song, too, that you have, Fever. It's spelled F-V-R.
F-V-R. It's more efficient.
Michael Jackson, hardcore in this song. Can we play a little bit of it, Steve?
I do.
Mm. Let's hear a little bit of what's going on here. So this was interesting, too, because there's almost like an intro part.
Yeah, it's a fake out.
So tell me about that.
Well, I love ballads.
Yeah.
And just mid-tempo songs, ballads. I usually don't write fast songs. Uh-huh. And when I got to the session, which was a journey, by the way. It's like I take a train and I walk a mile and I take a boat. And then I go on a shuttle.
Boat?
Yeah,
why
to Jersey.
Oh, okay. Gotta get to Jersey.
You know? And it was the dead of winter. Anyway, so I show up and I was like...
Wait, you took a boat in the dead of winter?
Yeah.
And you... poor thing.
Yeah, so I show up and I was like, let's make a fast song. It was my first session with this guy, Brian Carroll. He's incredible. And
goes.
But he started playing the synth and I was like, you know, just luxuriating in the ballad vibe. And then we picked it up.
So do you play instruments yourself, or do you mostly write with instrumentalists?
Yeah, I mainly write with instrumentalists. I am a basic bitch on the keyboard.
Yeah, we all gotta be.
Yeah, by necessity. And it's just the more tools you have, the better. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about
having
agency.
As long as you understand the theory there, fine, you know.
Yeah. So I can write a song at the piano. Mm-hmm. It's not as fun for me as working with a producer who's building a beat and like, you know, get some percussion going. And I'm involved in production. I'm more of like a Rick Rubin couch producer. but I'm very much involved in production. It depends on the record. Sometimes, you know, it's like the producer just does his or her, but usually it's a guy.
Yeah. Why is that?
I know. What's up with that?
I don't know.
Which is why I'm going to focus on my production skills in 2017.
Okay.
But now is the time. So late 2016. Ableton. I need to really get proficient in Ableton.
I don't even know what that is. So clearly I do too.
Yeah.
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 No, there have to be more female producers.
Really? It's especially an oddity. It shouldn't
hopefully,
be.
Hopefully, God willing, we'll have a female president.
Yes.
So go we got to get some more female
go vote.
Producers.
Don't
go
forget vote. To vote. Don't forget to vote.
Wherever you are, do it. This song is such a jam. I can't understand like how this won't be a huge hit.
We have a remix dropping in a week.
Okay. Where can we find that?
Everywhere. On
everywhere.
The internet.
Okay.
Jonathan Stein did the remix, and he's incredible. He is an Ableton whiz.
Okay.
He uses this controller, and it's crazy seeing him. He's playing the piano, like beautiful jazzy chords, but it's like a bunch of squares. So he'll like, he's playing the piano like this, as opposed to, you know, like horizontally. He's playing these, it's a crazy grid.
Wow.
It's really unusual.
I can't even picture that.
He whips up a track like in the blink of an eye. It's pretty amazing. Incredible. So we've done some work together. He's in New York. There still are musicians in New York. There still is a scene. I know LA is the hub. The international hub, but
I think whatever makes
I love
you,
being in New York.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, New York is such a creative place in general.
Yeah,
and it's such a place where you're really you get shown who you are, and if you can't step up to the plate and really be yourself, you will die. Basically,
the
city is so in your face.
Yeah.
So I think I can really understand why that would be a place where you want to be in order to create.
Yeah, the,
it demands
the stakes
it of you.
Feel high.
Yeah,
always
they are
there.
That, and that's the thing I was kind of telling you a little bit about LA. It's like it's a great place, but it's harder to find that collective voice. Whereas New York's voice is in your face.
Yeah, LA is really what you make of it.
It is,
and New York kind of shapes you, right?
You have to make it there.
Yeah. But I do enjoy it out here, which is why I'm in town right now. I like to split my time even more, if at all possible, because there are so many great people to work with, and there are a lot of shows to play out here. But the creative community is pretty expansive in LA, so
it is. Well, we would be lucky to have you here, and we are going to be having you here for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Correct. You're doing a couple shows next week, but one that's open to the public that's happening on October 25th at the Resident. The Resident. And
I
it's
went
in downtown
there
LA
yesterday for the first time to see Night Lights. they were fantastic. You should check out their music. And the venue is awesome. It's a new venue. Sound is great. Vibe is cool. They've got like an outdoor hang.
Mm.
The lighting is good there. That's Tuesday. It's a We Found New Music show. No, it's not. But We Found New Music is really great. And they've been supportive.
I think I follow them on Twitter.
Yeah.
And the
but
doors are at 8 p.m.
The doors are at 8 p.m.
Right.
The Resident in downtown L.A.
Better be there.
Please
buddy.
Come out.
I think I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And then you can get Outsider basically anywhere music is sold.
Yeah, Outsider, buy it if you want or stream it everywhere. Yeah.
You got a beautiful attitude. And one other thing I want to touch on before we go. I notice you're really, really generous with other artists. I think that is such a cool quality.
Thank you.
Keep that up because it's only going to help you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, this journey, you know?
In fact, it's actually really painful and hurts
it
immensely
is.
At times.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But it's so much better when you have friends, you know, with you, helping you along the way and vice versa. And I'm so grateful because I've had a lot of wonderful people that I've worked with, you know, and over the past few years, just it's been a really positive experience creatively. I think the challenge can be time. You know, a producer in Chicago that I worked with for a while, Vince Lawrence, said to me, this is like some of the best, this is the best phrase. You have three things. Pick two. Good, fast, cheap. Pick two.
Good.
Fast. Cheap.
And cheap.
So
good is number one.
Yeah. But if, you know, you're just working with people because you want to make the music and it's just passion, it can take a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
How do you find that patience?
by having a lot of different things in the works, mm-hmm. you know, so that if something is a little slow, it's fine because you have another thing going on. And then setting arbitrary deadlines, because at the end of the day, the people that you're working with want to see the music getting, they want to see that get released, right. you know? So if you're motivated about the music you're making, like at the end of the day, it's not about management. It's not about your publisher. It's not about, like, your team is important, but really you're the point person, mm-hmm. no matter, like, whether you have people on board or not. And when I released the first song, it was just me. And surprisingly, I had literally no plan, and I cannot believe what I was able to accomplish with just good music and next to no money, just passion. So when you're passionate about what you're doing, people will want to get on board.
And when you're authentic.
Yeah. But anyway, so through over the past few years, I've really built a great community, and I think it's just so important to support your peers. You know,
it is. It's everything, especially, yeah. you know, support your peers, support your fellow woman in music, because it's very difficult.
It's really hard. And it sucks that women
are pitted against each other.
Yeah.
We it's gotta really stop unfortunate. Doing that and buying into it, because it's not true.
And you see in, like, gossip media, like, women are always pitted against one another. And that's bad for the psyche. Like, that shouldn't be a part of our cultural, mm-hmm. our pop culture conversation, women against women, because that's not how it should be.
It's hard enough out there. We have to lift each other up, because there's an opportunity for everyone. You're different than me.
Exactly.
Like, we're different from another person out there.
We can't operate from a place of scarcity.
No, you make really bad decisions when that's happening.
It's true. Yeah. You get ugly. Uh-huh. And there's no, like, that doesn't serve anyone.
No.
Really. Like, that's very short-sighted, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, community. Because it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. It is.
It's hard to make it as an artist.
It
you
is.
Know, whatever kind of artist you are. Mm-hmm. So the more people you have working together, the more likely everyone's, you know, going to be able to succeed. Yeah.
Absolutely. You have the right idea about that. I'm very impressed. You have beautiful music. I think
we're going
to be going out on the title track, correct?
And also, I just wanted to say one thing for those of you who are watching. I have a little, like, social media moment that's building pretty much starting now, like today. And it's this hashtag, are you an outsider? Because we're all outsiders in our own way, right? Mm-hmm. And so the ask of you, if you want to participate in this on, I would say Instagram, but Twitter is great too. If you write an example of when you felt like an outsider, or what makes you an outsider, it could be serious, it could be funny, it could be less than a sentence, it could be an image. But for me, like, what I've done is I've done a screenshot of text on my phone, and then I posted it on Instagram. But on Twitter, it could just be text. Anyway, so I've posted an example, and the hashtag is "Are you an outsider?" And you'll notice if you're in LA, also if you're in New York, that some chalk stencils might be around the city. Are you an outsider? And actually, if you want to get involved in that, you know, you can hit me up on Instagram. But it's very, it's a grassroots little social media campaign, and hopefully start an interesting conversation online. But yeah, if you want to participate, help me build up that hashtag.
I love that. That sounds, I feel like an outsider for sure.
Every day.
Every day. Just I can't believe I am alive and existing in the world.
And like wanting to belong, you know, it can make you feel like an outsider. That's like 24 hours. That's how it comes
to the song.
Play there. Yeah.
I was like, it is.
Every
it really
day.
Is.
Every day. Yeah.
Oh,
it's so great talking to you.
Great talking to you.
And I can't wait
to
hear your music.
Oh, thanks, babe. I appreciate it. I'm so impressed by what you do, and I know
thank
that you're
you.
Going to go really far. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for
Janelle,
having me.
You're
this
beautiful.
Has been fun. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday. And follow her on all social media platforms at Janelle Kroll.
Yep.
And you can follow me at Lauren LaGrasso. I'm at Lolo Loger on Snapchat. I got a little frisky
on
there. And then I'm also playing a show next Wednesday at Now Boarding. It's going to be at 10 p.m. So come on out. Cool. Great place in WeHo.
Ooh.
WeHo.
Hey.
Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Have a beautiful day. And thank you, Janelle.
Bye. Go vote.
Peace. Go vote. Seriously.
Ooh.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.